All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
TheWordBros.com.
And welcome to another wonderful week with the Word Bros. I'm Kevin Cuff.
I am Bob France. Hello and welcome. We have a very special guest this week. But before we get into that, don't forget to go to thewordbros.com and pick up some of the Word Bros books. You know, I found a whole, today I was looking through some stuff because I had to mail something to a listener who bought some stuff. I found a whole package of Full Moon Fredos.
Did you?
A whole package.
I didn't even realize we had any of those left. And for those of you that don't know, Full Moon Fredo is something we did with the wonderful Angela Sprecher. You can find her art on the Ninja Nuns book. And it's an all-ages kind of Scooby-Doo meets Indiana Jones adventure book.
Yeah, I'm going to put it up on I'm going to put it on the Word Bros website, see if anybody buys it.
Yeah, it's an all-ages book. Your kids can read it. We try to do something that our kids can read.
Yeah, it's good. We got some cool stuff on the site. If you haven't been there, we've got that that anthology piece we did with Top Cow, the Stairway Anthology, which is like 38 stories by 900 different creators, all telling cool like sci-fi stories. It's really cool.
And we did a story with Chris DeBarry on that, who we mentioned in this pod.
Yeah, who's going to get talked about in this podcast because he's doing some stuff with Black Caravan. You can get Metal Shark Bro and Ninja Nuns and all kinds of shit up on the Word Bros page. So go to thewordbros.com, click the little section that says buy our books, and boom, bada bing, you can get our stuff.
Straight to your house in the mail.
Just like that. So yeah, we got Rich. Now we had Rich Woodall on the podcast, but this week we have the other half of Black Caravan. We have Joseph Schmalke on the pod this week.
And just like our books, he's straight to your ears on the Word Bros.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
He's straight to your ears.
He comes just like our books. Ears. What does that mean? Our books.
Does your books come straight to your house? Rich comes straight to your ears. It's like direct delivery.
It's a stretch.
Is it?
It's a stretch.
I thought it worked, man.
I mean, whatever, dude. We'll leave it up to the audience. Tell us, did Kevin's analogy work?
Yes.
All right, we'll find out. This week on Word Bros, we're talking to Joseph Schmalke, the man-child, the brain master of Black Caravan. Joe, congratulations on everything, man.
Thanks a lot.
You guys are like the hottest thing in indie comics right now over there at Black Caravan, dude. That's got to be pretty wonderful.
It's pretty crazy, and I don't, I could attribute it to like maybe a couple of things, but honestly, the way that things have been going with future titles that we're putting out, it seems like everything we're putting out under that banner is like caught fire. So
yeah, like everything, like it's not just one or two things. It seems like everything you guys touch turns to gold. You got that Midas touch, baby. How's that feel, man? You're just blowing up. It's do you wake up in the morning and look at the mirror and go like, oh God, I'm hot shit? Or do you look in the mirror and go, oh, what are they all going to find out? I'm a fraud. Which one are you?
I wake up and I go, all right, what do I have to get done today? Is usually how it works.
So what
I don't
do you
think
have
too hard?
So what do you have to get done today, Joe? Is what I'm asking.
So today I was putting together covers for Murder Hobo,
okay.
And then I was doing a page for We Don't Kill Spiders, and talking to shops about Cherry Blackbird and Phantom Star Killer Legendary Edition and Count Draco Knuckleduster. So I do a lot of mixture of business and artwork during the day.
That's cool. And I mean,
and I've got some other variants coming out too from I just did one for You Promise Me Darkness by Behemoth Comics.
I've heard good things about that book.
It's like a David Lynch comic book. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about that book. Those dudes over at Behemoth are doing some cool shit too, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about you.
Right.
Joseph
right.
Schmolke. We're talking about you. So let's start, man. You've got like 10 books, it feels like, in previews this month. Where do you want to, which one do you want to start off with first? You want to talk about the next Murder Hobo?
Sure. Yeah. Out? So we have a new creative team behind Murder Hobo. So on that title in particular, I sort of take a back seat on the art. The thing behind me is like the biggest piece of art I think I've ever done. And it's my connecting covers that I did for the series. And so, yeah, we have a new, starting a new title, and it's going to run all year. And it's called Murder Hobo Chaotic Neutral. And it's, I'm writing, we've got Jarrett Melendez writing. And Steve Levine co-created one of the stories in it. He's from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you ever bought anything turtle related, he might have probably drawn that kind of
thing. That's cool.
So it's the artists we have on the book right now are Steve Levine, Steve Mardo, Jason Lynch continues to do art, lettering, and coloring. And then the new headlining artist is Ryan G. Brown. And he's done covers for me in the past for Starkiller and Murder Hobo. And he's just awesome. He does great work. So he's a total get for us. And so he'll be drawing the majority of all the issues this year.
That's cool. Now, when you say this year, how many issues are you talking about? How many are you putting out in the calendar year? What are you shooting for?
It's four. Four issues this year for Murder Hobo Chaotic Neutral.
That's awesome. All right.
And so then... the next book we have coming up is Phantom Starkiller Legendary Edition, which is a it's all my ink work with spot color, like where his lightsaber was and stuff like that. I'd done it digitally in like a red ink or something. So that's an 11 by 17. That was the size I drew all the pages at, and that will be coming out. I think people are ordering it now. And then we got Broken Souls Ballad, which is by Massimo Rossi. It's kind of like a New Mutants on acid. Instead of them having like superpowers, their powers are pretty messed up. Like a kid grows a Rottweiler demon dog out of the side of his body that like runs off and like kills people. And another guy becomes like a gelatinous ooze that burns through like a town and stuff. It's dark. It fits our model at Black Caravan. And then we have Black Friday issue 2 coming out. That's been a really big hit for us. If you haven't read it, it's a wicked cool story. It's a perfect three act play in three issues. And it's about this evil that lives underneath like a Walmart superstore. I think it's called Star Mart in the book, and it unleashes this horde of like demons that just start laying waste to everybody.
Sounds like.
And then the final title that's being solicited around right now is Cherry Blackbird, which is my book, and it's a mature audience's book. It's pretty graphic. It's got foul language, drug use, alcohol use, all that kind of stuff, nudity. It's got everything. So I'm excited about that to come out finally in single issue format. I had, when cons were still around, I was sort of putting out like a graphic novel version of it, but I've updated it with new lettering and some additional content.
I love your definition of everything. It's got nudity and violence and drugs and sex and, you know, everything. Like that's a good.
It's a grindhouse horror comic, and it's exploitation at its very finest. So
it's got everything.
It's got everything.
That's awesome. Like I said, your definition of everything is stellar. Now let's talk about where your comics journey began, because it feels like you guys are just exploding onto the scene with all the stuff you're doing for Black Caravan. But when did you start doing all this stuff, man? Because you are kind of, you can do it all. You write, you letter, you color, you do it all, man. So like, when did this journey begin for you?
So I moved to Maine in 2007. That's when I really started working in comics. Before that, I was living out in Los Angeles and I was working on reality TV shows and stuff like that. I kind of dabbled, tried to get a, they used to have a thing called a Xeric grant, and that was run by Peter Laird. And so what you would do is you'd make a comic book, you'd submit it, and they would, maybe they would give you money to help you produce your book. And at the time there wasn't like any print on demand places. There was no Kickstarter. Not really to speak of at that point. I think maybe they had started, but you know, it was just starting out. And then my friend Tessie, who's the drummer from Dead Boy and the Elephant Men, she did a solo project on Kickstarter. And that's how I learned about that. When I moved here to Maine, I decided to put together my own, you know, because I saw that there was like this whole subcategory of comic books. So I backed a couple just to like check out what the projects looked like and everything. Got some really cool things out of it, some cool comics out of it. And so yeah, then I made this book called The Calamitous Black Devils. It was successfully funded on Kickstarter, and I think that was 2009 at this point. And I had already written this book. I just was waiting for a way to put it out. And before the Kickstarter launched, I had found a print on demand company, figured out what my budget needed to be. And then I raised enough money to not, because I wasn't planning on taking any of the money for myself. I just wanted to print the book. But I had raised enough to print the first two issues. After issue two came out, I got picked up by a company called Broken Icon Comics. They picked up the whole run of Calamitous Black Devils. And then about 4 months later, I finished all six issues. We combined them into a graphic novel. And then I had a, you know, fully published graphic novel that was distributed worldwide. After working with them, I did another Kickstarter for a book called The Infernal Pact, which ties into Cherry Blackbird, actually. I'll get into that later. But and that one was also successfully funded. So I made three issues of that, which led into Cherry Blackbird, which was also successfully funded. Like, I think there was 2 years in between each of these Kickstarters. So I was doing the con circuit, you know, meeting people, selling my books, and getting some signed gigs here and there. Nothing really to speak of. I did a couple of cool projects, but nothing like what I'm doing right now. It was just like, you know, working on my skills, going to reviews all the time. So I was meeting with, you know, I met with CB Sebaluski at Marvel. I met with a bunch of the editors at DC Comics and shit like that. And they were helping me. Fred Von Lente gave me some of the greatest advice I ever got. And he was reviewing my books. So, you know, there was a lot of room for improvement at that time. And I took everything that was ever offered to me that was constructive criticism, because sometimes you get like an editor that just tells you suck and you're no good. But if they had legitimate things like, oh, you need to work on your backgrounds, or you're not setting up enough establishing shots or stuff like that, work on your anatomy, I listened and I took it to heart, and then I improved on those things. So, which led me to when I did Cherry Blackbird, I ended up putting that out. And I met the president of Scout, James Hake, at Emerald City Comic Con when I had just an ash can of it at this time. And I had been like featured in some Bleeding Cool article for having like an exclusive at the show, and they thought it looked cool. So then me and him started talking, and initially Scout rejected Cherry Blackbird. They thought it was too much. The content was just like something they weren't comfortable with. But they told me next time I had something to come back, you know, like, look, think, they were like, you know, tone it down a little bit, make something a little bit more all ages and come
this
back.
This is too much everything for them. It's too much everything.
Yeah. So I had just quit my job as an engineer, and then me and Rich Woodall had become friends over the years. He was always a great person for me to A, get advice from, because he's an amazing artist, and B, he wanted to work with something, work with me on something. So we tossed around a couple of different ideas. None of them were really sticking, but I was going to work on my third book, which is, it was like Infernal Pact, Cherry Blackbird, and then it was going to be called The Electric Black. And it was all going to be about this void space shop, you know, that like, it, basically it's a pocket dimension. And we reworked it so that it was more me and Rich's invention and not just my invention, because the original proprietor for The Electric Black was the Black Hen from Cherry Blackbird. And he's like a goat headed demon guy. So Rich took a crack at like redesigning what we thought the proprietor should look like. We bounced it back and forth and we finally came up with our Julius Black. And then we had pitched it to Scout as a horror anthology. But as we started fleshing out the story, you know, classic tale of like two guys tell you they're going to sell you something and then they give you something else entirely is what we did, because we just like the main story more than just the anthology part of it. And that ended up at the time being the biggest selling book that Scout had ever put out.
Nice.
Because of our popularity on that title and the fact that me and Rich can color, design, write, you know, do our own artwork and all this other stuff. James had approached us about opening or starting our own imprint. I initially didn't want to do it, but Rich really did. And so, you know, we decided, you know, as long as we were together on it, we could do this, because, you know, it's a lot of work trying to like be a creator, be a, and make your own books and then promote other people and start a brand. So, but when we got sunk, you know, when we started talking about starting this imprint, the first thing that came to mind was I had been working with Peter Gorel from he calls himself Killer Bootlegs, and he had made this toy called Phantom Star Killer. And so me and him had struck up a relationship, and we were friends for a couple of years, and I was doing card art for his Super 7 action figures that he was putting out. And he always had this little paragraph on the back that was sort of this like pretty flashy story. And I'm like, do you really have like a story for this guy? And he's like, oh yeah, and I got more characters too, and this is what it's about. I was like, oh, we got to make a comic book about this. So that was the first property we basically picked up, was Phantom Star Killer. And I convinced James that it was going to be a big deal and all this other stuff, and it ended up being the biggest book that Scout now has ever produced, is Phantom Star Killer.
Yeah.
And then so when we launched our Black Caravan line, I had gone to a convention in Swansea, Massachusetts, which is the home to like Craig Russo. Oddly enough, I used to spend summers there. My stepfather was from that town as well.
Now, is that on the sign of Swansea, Massachusetts, home of Craig Russo? Because that would be pretty rad.
No.
I think
he might actually live in Fall River.
God,
but
damn,
I don't want him to get mad and be like, no, I don't live in Fall River, because there are towns around here where like kind of be bad news bears. You know what I mean? Like we've got a town called Lowell in Massachusetts. That place is kind of a dump.
Oh, wow. But, you're, I just mean, going hot on Lowell, huh?
They made a documentary about it. It's called High on Crack Street.
If I could show you the demographics for Lowell on our podcast right now, you're going to have people pitchforks and torches marching down.
Are there
down
really
the
a
street.
Lot of people from Lowell?
No.
So, and in Maine, we've got a couple of towns that have like bad reputations like that. But now I live in Maine, so I'm not going to name those towns. They know who they are. Anyway. Fall River,
names.
Fall River and New Bedford have those kind of reputations. Anyways, so back, we're at Swansea, Mass. Craig Russo invites me to his house for a cookout, and this is before COVID hit. So,
obviously, I mean,
but it was starting. It was like I think this convention was in like February of last year. So like it was already starting to spread, but it hasn't hit the East Coast yet. So I go to his house and I get into his library, his office where he worked, and it's all Perhaponaut stuff, which is the book that he's been working on for like, you know, like a decade or something. And I was like, wow, you know, how come are you still making this book? And he goes, oh, well, we had a thing with Dark Horse, but that like fell apart. And then we had a thing with Image, but that fell apart. And I was just like, but you're going to keep making this, right? And he's like, yeah. And he's really good friends with Rich. So I went back to Rich and I was like, listen, man, it's in the category of stuff that we do. It's a little bit more all ages than what we do, but like it, you know, it's about cryptozoology, like monsters flying through space and fighting shit, you know? And so Rich was like, yeah, all right, we'll pick that up. So we had, now we have Phantom Starkiller, Electric Black, and Perhaponauts. That was our initial titles that we were putting out. And then Mossimo had submitted Broken Souls Ballad to us, which at one point he tried to name it Hell Is for Kids, and we told him he couldn't do that because that's a terrible name. And then those were the first four titles that we had picked up, and then, you know, we started getting submissions. Since it's me and Rich and James, he's like the third man in our group because he's the president of Scout, he's also the president of Black Caravan. We each have like one property that we have the right to just pick up without the other guys agreeing on it.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So James picked up The Shepherd. He brought it to us. So then we had that. And Andrea Molinari is like a super passionate creator. The Shepherd is totally within our wheelhouse. It belongs at our imprint. And it, super dark book about a guy whose son overdoses, then he commits suicide to go into the afterlife and guide his son through the afterlife. I mean, it's pretty out there.
Yeah.
And then my book that I picked up after I saw a couple pages of it was John Clark's Black Friday, which is the book that's out now. And then Rich had picked up another book, but ended up falling apart for whatever reason. Like
that Rich Woodall figures.
Rich tried to do the right thing and pick up something that he thought was cool, and the team that was working on it just ended up not being.
So basically what you're saying is Woodall's the dead weight here.
No, he's awesome.
No,
Rich has got a lot of like, first off, he is my sounding board. If he thinks something's like really a piece of dog shit, it is, you know. Yeah,
Rich is a good guy. I'm breaking his stones because we had him on the podcast a couple months ago. That's all.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, Rich is a good dude, man. I like Rich a lot.
And he's like at Black Caravan, he does pretty much all the design and layouts and stuff like that. I do some of that crap, but like he just knows Illustrator better than I do, and so I just push it on to
it. Sounds like, I mean, this thing has been so far so good, a recipe for success. You guys have like the Midas touch, man. Everything you touch, it turns to gold. It's really beautiful to see. I mean, I'm every day I just kind of, you know, there's new things popping up on your timelines and in your feeds and stuff, and it's all about Black Caravan taking over the world. That's got to be a great feeling.
It is, you know, that we're in this to make comic books, right? And I feel like we're doing exactly what we want to do, so that makes us feel good, of course. We're also, me and Killer, Peter Gorel and James and, Don Hanfield have started a toy company, which you guys are aware of because I've seen you guys posting the drawings that, Ben Aslan did of the turnarounds. So, Tracker Collectibles, we're in the process of Stabity Bunny is here in the US. It's going through customs right now.
That's cool.
So Peter's actually heading down to Florida to meet the trucks and stuff when they deliver the bundle of stuffed Stabity Bunnies that are coming in.
That's awesome.
The first toy that we put out.
Bundle of bunnies.
Yeah. And then right now we're making Murder Hobo 32 to 35 inch miniatures, gaming miniatures, that you can incorporate into any game. So they, it comes two miniatures per pack. The first one comes with these two, Spectra and Roddy. And they come with a playing card and stuff that tell you what their special abilities can be used. You can use them in Warhammer. You can use them in Dungeons and Dragons, Zombicide, whatever.
That's awesome.
And those will probably be available by this summer.
That's awesome.
So we're actually getting the full prototype back, I think next week or something like that.
You know it's serious when there's a prototype. That's when you're...
Yeah, and they're fully packaging it and stuff. Jason is doing all the packaging art. I do all the write-ups for it. I do the art direction for it. We hired this really amazing 3D sculptor. His name's Willie Cow. He lives out in Los Angeles. So he's currently sculpting this guy,
okay.
Lord Droth. So
that's cool.
That one will be coming next. And then we're also doing the 375s. That's a much bigger project. It's going to take a longer time to put that all together because it's not just one figure. We're putting out a whole set at mm-hmm. once. So, and for anybody that doesn't know about a Build-A-Figure, Metal Shark Bro is supposed to be the Build-A-Figure. And
that's the hot rumor on the street.
Yeah. Yeah. So the five figures that we're doing are, we're doing a figure from White Ash. We're doing a figure from the Electric Black. We're doing a figure from Phantom Starkiller, the Maul, and Cut Coast. And then one of those figures comes with a piece of Metal Shark. And he's bigger than the rest when it's all put together.
Oh, that's cute. And we haven't had the chance to personally thank you for including us on this thing, but thank you very thank much you. For including
Peter calls it toyetic, right? We look for things that are toyetic, things that you can look at and you're like, I want to own that thing.
Yes.
I want to play with that thing. Metal Shark, the Ninja Nuns, all these things are very toyetic.
It's because Kevin and I and Walter are children and we want to play with our own creations. that's at the end of the day, if you can't have an action figure, your own stuff, what are you even doing this shit for, man?
I know.
you said it best earlier that we're in this to make comics, and if other things come along the way, then so be it.
Yeah, that's
for,
cool.
For you guys, it has been so be it, because you guys hooked up with the dudes from Rick and Morty for your Electric Black show, correct?
Yeah, so we
that's
have
amazing,
a deal going.
Dude, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I was just talking to the management team yesterday, because Hollywood moves very slow. You know, we have a year-long contract with them. That's to bring the show to sort of a point of creation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, right now it's looking for a big name writer to sort of be the showrunner for this thing in Hollywood. I'm not a Hollywood script writer. I'm not going to pretend to be that. I want to learn, right. You know, but so we're that's where we're at right now with Starburns. And then we have another potential pickup happening with Murder Hobo.
Nice.
Because we had signed, nothing really seemed to come from it. So I know people are in the wings waiting to sort of swoop in.
That's so cool, man. It's just because when you said Hollywood moves slow, it seems like, yes, Hollywood moves slow. Comics move slow. This whole process moves slow. And sometimes you have to kind of take a step back and just remember, like, hey, man, it takes time, you know? It takes a lot of time to have that perspective. It takes,
it says your internet connection is unstable.
Mine.
All right, I'm probably freezing up on you, aren't I?
No, you're fine. It might be mine, but you're okay.
It could be mine, though. So
we're all pointing fingers at each other. It's like a game of Clue. But yeah, no, it's just like these things take a long time to do, man. And you've been in this game for a long time, so you know what's up.
Yeah. So I was taken in by a family when I was around 16 in Massachusetts. And I have, I consider him like a brother. His name's Aaron Stanford, and he's Pyro in the X-Men films. When I lived out in California, I was crashing at his pad originally, and then moved out, got my own apartment type thing. But he's kind of hipped us to a couple of writers too, and so it's good to have those sort of connections. And I have no illusions about, like, you know, what some of this stuff means.
Yeah.
So right. I know it's going to take a while, but once you get over certain humps, things tend to move very quickly at that point.
That's cool. And at the end of the day, it's just hopefully it helps you move comics.
Yeah, and make more comics.
Yeah, yeah. That's the name of the game right now, is trying to, like, make sure all of our books, like, do well. And so we try to the best of our ability to promote everything that's under our banner. And, you know, we make sure we read everything. We got some cool stuff coming up.
Too, we make sure we read everything. Year. Yeah. So. Well, I really dig the fact that we were even telling Rich this too, that when we had him on, I really like the fact that your line is so curated. I feel like sometimes some of these smaller publishers, they just kind of turn into IP farms waiting for something to hit. You know, so I dig the fact that yours is very much like, okay, we're going to do horror and sci-fi, and we're going to do 8 books a year, 8 titles. And we're going to do those 8 books a year really, really well. I think that's a great way to go about it.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to overload ourselves. So literally we've stopped taking any more new titles for this year, but we've already signed 2 for next year. So, and those look really promising. We have one more, July's our big month this year. We have Count Draco Knuckle Duster coming out, which is our sequel to Phantom Star Killer. We have Gods of Brutality, which is Rich's book that he writes, and Mark Wessler.
It sounds amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a rock star that, like, he ends up in hell. He prays to Odin and Zeus, and they send their sons to save this rock star. So it's pretty, like, if you're a fan of just, like, high action and heavy metal and stuff like that, it's pretty fun.
That's awesome.
And then my own book, We Don't Kill Spiders, which is a Viking detective who's faithless, teams up with a necromantic witch, and they're trying to solve a serial murder in a fjord in early Viking era.
That whole explanation just made my head explode. Like, there were so many awesome concepts and words in that statement that I was like, I like all of those things. I never thought they would all go together well.
It's a very personal project for me. And I haven't worked on a book all by myself since Cherry Blackbird, which, if you're not aware, I made that years ago. It's being put out now. Mm-hmm. We Don't Kill Spiders is being made now. So it's got a different vibe and quality to it. I think I think you'll be able to see it, that, like, this is what 3 years of somebody chronically producing work looks like.
That's awesome.
So so those 3 titles are coming out in July. We also have a title called Phantasmagoria, which will be coming out sometime over the summer. And that is from a group of guys in Italy. And then the big book that we're putting out in October, well, we have 2 things. We have The Electric Black, the continuation. Issue 4 ended on a cliffhanger. And then we made Electric Black Presents, and which is all origin tales from the different characters from The Electric Black. So this book coming out in October is called Electric Black Dark Caravan. And it's all about, originally it was called Black Caravan, but we ended up naming our company that. So, because we thought it was cool. So it's Dark Caravan, and it's an oversized book. It's around 58, 62 pages, something like that. Me and Rich draw half of it. And the other half is being drawn by Carl Moline from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Frey. Oh,
that's cool.
That's awesome.
And he might be coming on as the regular artist of The Electric Black next year.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So that's one book we've got coming out. And then another one is called Swamp Dogs. And Swamp Dogs, I won't tell you about it. We're doing a big reveal of the title in July. There'll be an ash can that comes out around San Diego Comic Con.
If they have it, are they doing San Diego Comic Con this year?
No, they did cancel it, but we're going to do an online event.
That's cool.
Black Caravan is, at least. We're going to, like, do a whole, like, couple days where we do live videos and reveal all this stuff. So, And we'll probably, you know, I'll be vaccinated by then. So as long as we can all get vaccinated, we might just throw like a party or something at the studio.
Word. That's right, awesome. I'll be there. Just shoot me the invitation and I'll be there.
So, yeah, that's what we got this year.
That Province of Madness book looks great too. Every time I see that,
dude, it came out. It's so beautiful. Yeah, so Province of Madness, that whole team is coming back to do, and that's coming up. It falls in between the current solicitation in July, so that's why I missed it. But it's called Tales Told in Techno Horror, and it's a biannual book, so they're putting out two issues a year. And they have a Patreon for it, but they're giving us some additional content, and it's super cool. It's Christian's work. He's like one of the best horror artists.
Christian's the best.
We worked with Christian.
We like Christian.
Yeah. He's incredible. Kieran's a great writer. And then Simon's just like one of these colorists who I've seen pull so many people's biscuits out of the fire with his coloring. So it's a great team. And
when you say biscuits, do you mean American biscuits or do you mean crackers?
I mean,
Simon's English.
I've seen some of the work that doesn't look that great. And he makes it look great.
Okay. I'm just being ridiculous.
He's talking both.
Both kinds of biscuits.
Works on both sides of the pond, my friend.
Cheddar biscuits.
Cheddar biscuits. Oh, now you're talking. Yeah. Is that where you're going? Is that where you're going after all this clears up? You're going to Red Lobster for some cheddar biscuits, bro? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. But yeah, that team is awesome. We're really lucky to have them. And I told Christian, you know, anything he wants to put out through our title, through our banner, he's always welcome.
Yeah.
He does really quality work.
Of course. And that's a good eye on you to tell Christian Dabari to do that, because I'm sure he'll take you up on it. And like I said, man, you guys are just crushing it. So congratulations to you dudes. We just wanted to have you on the pod because we already had Rich on. So we wanted to talk to the other half of Black Caravan.
What did he say about me?
He said that you were...
That you were the dead weight.
That you were the best guy in the whole wide world.
He said lots of
and
nice things.
You look smashing in a beanie, and by God, he was right. He was right, Joseph.
If I took this off, it's just like a rat's nest up there.
I mean, who are you talking to, baby? Look at this.
Yeah, but you've got all your hair. I'm like bald up here. And it's not regular bald. It's like weird, irregular pattern baldness. It doesn't look right.
But you look cool in a beanie.
You look great in a beanie.
Thanks, man.
Keep that up. Keep that up. Now, there was one more thing that I wanted to ask you, but I totally forgot about it. So, you said you were going to start doing your Joseph Talks to People thing again. Is that really going to happen? Because I believe I was one of your first guests, and then you never did it again.
Yeah, you were. So what happened is my, you know, we have a studio, me and Jason Lynch, the other name up here. We have a studio in Westbrook. In a mill building. We've got these gigantic ceilings and stuff. It's actually the same building that Ben Bishop's in as well.
Okay. So
we all kind of like hang out and stuff. We always test. We do a lot of testing. But so he's got a green screen and stuff. And he was just like, man, you should do your Joe Talks to People. And he kept riding my ass about it. And I was like, no one wants to see me. He's like, nah, but you can talk about the books you got coming up and stuff. And I was like, all right, maybe like once or twice a month we'll do it.
Yeah.
So that's why I posted online, because Jason was hammering on me about it. So I was like,
I had fun doing that with you guys. It was wild because I thought Lynch was going to have the FBI kicking my door in, because that dude was saying some wild shit at the time. And I was like, whoa.
Jason's pretty unhinged, man.
I mean, he's your boy, so you can say that. I don't know him like that, and if he is unhinged, I'm not gonna say that shit. He's cool with me. That dude is straight. But yeah, he was saying some buck wild shit, and I told my wife when I was done, I was like, that was the craziest shit I've ever been a part of. And I thought that's why they went away shortly thereafter, because even you had this look of like, holy shit.
Dude, I have to like put a muzzle on him sometimes. I'm just like, what the fuck is coming out of your face? He's a mad genius. The guy is super talented. He's a sweet person, you know, but he does not give two fucks.
No, he doesn't.
It was funny because I was watching some of that at work, and like I was just sitting, because like I work at the time I worked from my car, I was doing sales. And so like, I was watching it and I couldn't watch it all. And I came back and then Bobby called and he's like, did you hear? And I was like, no, it seemed like all just like you guys were having fun and everything. And then I go away and I missed all the cool stuff.
He was dropping grenades, just like, whoosh, just watching shit blow up. And like, damn, this is just buck wild as fuck.
Yeah.
It was cool, but it was that conversation and that interaction with other creatives that kind of got Kevin and I back to doing Word Bros on a regular basis. Cause we had taken a very long time off, but during the pandemic, we're like, fuck, I just miss talking to people I like.
At cons and
stuff. Miss the interaction. So we started doing Word Bros again. So you were part of that, that renaissance. So thank you.
Yeah, no, the reason I stopped doing it was because I was getting wasted and then doing it. And like, I had to like wipe one of them totally out because I was just like falling all over the place. And I was like, wow, this is like turned into a bad recipe. I drink when I do it. And then I'm just, yeah.
Is it because you get tense? Because I used to drink when
it was the beginning of the pandemic. Like I was in lockdown. I was like, fuck this, I'm getting drunk.
And you did.
And I did. Yeah. No, I've learned to cope a little bit healthier with myself in that aspect.
Well, now so. You don't have time to worry about anything else. You got all these fucking comics to make. Now
that does not stop me from drinking. But
there you go. Probably leads into it. And that kind of leads into my next question. And this will be the last one before we let you go. How do you handle the pressure of dealing with other people's kind of hopes and dreams? Because you're not just making your own books at this point. Like people are coming to you with their like big grand ideas and going, help me make this a reality. Is that a lot of pressure for you, or you think you're handling it well?
Well, you know, we haven't had to be rude to anybody.
That's cool.
That's good.
I mean, we don't pick up everything that gets thrown at us either. Again, I've told this to several people. It's just like what we're doing, it either works for us or it doesn't. And if you don't work for, you know, if it doesn't work with us, we're just two fucking guys. Who cares what we think, you know, go somewhere else with it.
Yeah.
Like that's all. It's not that your work is bad and I've given criticism to a couple of people, but it's never anything but constructive. I'm not going to tear somebody down.
No. I'm not saying that part, but what I'm saying is once you guys pick up a book.
Oh. Like, yeah. Honestly, we're pretty lenient once we pick you up because we know what you're capable of doing. There's been like one or two instances where we're like I was telling you when we got Broken Souls Ballad, they told us it was called Broken Souls Ballad. And then they're like, hey, check out our new title for it. And it was like, Hell is for Kids. And I was like, no, it's not.
What about Hell is what about Hell is for Children? That's a really great song.
If you're Pat Benatar, that worked.
That's a great song.
Yeah, I was just like, nah. But and that happens sometimes. But, you know, we're not ever going to do anything to our creators to hurt their product.
Mm-hmm.
We're only in this to help them make a successful book. So if we tell you that, like, you know, that needs to be fixed, it's only because we're trying to help. Trust me, I don't want anybody sticking their finger in my pie. I wouldn't want to do that to somebody else. And I'm never going to try and hurt any of the people that I pick up. I love all these people that they've done nothing but cool stuff for us with us, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, Joe, thank you so much. Where can we find you on social media, man?
Instagram at Schmalky. I post there pretty frequently. I have a Joseph Schmalky Storyteller Facebook page. I do not take friends on my regular page. I'm going to be calling that back because got weird people starting to look at pictures of my kids and stuff, and my wife's not okay with that. So you can always follow me on those two. They're just open forums for people to come in, and I do communicate with people. So if you have questions, you want to work with me, you want to submit a book or something like that, that's how you can reach out to me.
Word. All right, dude. Well, congratulations, man. You've got so much coming up. You want to recap what's in previews right now? Just get it out there so people
can know. Yeah. So Murder Hobo, Chaotic Neutral. Oh, and we have the Murder Hobo Compendium.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's fancy. C-U-M.
It doesn't sound fancy.
It comes with a wraparound. The actual cover itself is Richard the Dick Monster. Uh-huh. And if you flip it over, it's his butthole.
Okay.
But we covered it up with a condom wrapper type setting. So
that's
if you want to see the cover, you have to buy it and then take it out of the bag, and then you can see it.
That's pretty brilliant
for all you butthole lovers out there.
Yeah, it's it collects both.
Oh, so you get two
in at the Dragon Shaft and Broken, Beaten, and Buggered. So oh, those awesome. Two issues are in the one, and it's a magazine format. It's a larger format.
Nice.
So that,
nice.
That's up for a solicitation through Scout Direct right now. You can only buy that particular because it's a little iffy for the content. And then Chaotic Neutral is, you can order that. And then we have Cherry Blackbird coming up. We have Black Friday number two. Mm-hmm. Black Friday number two is a bloodbath. So number one sort of like the buildup, and then you get a huge payoff in issue two. So
nice.
Issue two. Then we have Broken Souls Ballad. Number one,
Hell is for Children.
Not Hell is for Children. Yeah. Broken Souls Ballad. And then we have the big thing is the 11x17 inch Phantom Star Killer Legendary Edition, which is just a inked. It's the black and white inks on the pages, the size that I created them. It does have all the lettering and stuff, so you can read the story that way. But it's a coffee table art book. So
nice.
So that's what's available. And then next month, keep your eyes open for Tales Told in Techno Horror.
All right. Well, Joseph, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. And your success couldn't happen to a better dude. So congratulations.
Thanks.
And hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
Later, dude.
Thank you.
What a guy, what a dude. It's like they're taking over comics, man. Like every day you see more social media stuff and about their books and all. I couldn't be happier.
And action figures and everything. Yeah. And then TV show announcements. Yeah. Those guys are doing great. It's amazing.
Those guys are doing really well, man. So congratulations to the dudes from Black Caravan, Joseph and Rich. But we had Joseph on today. Good guy, man. Really happy that he stayed up late and gave us some good conversation. We really appreciate it.
It was a lot of fun.
I kept having to turn my mic off because it's the allergy season. So like, I didn't want to be snuffling and rubbing my nose and stuff. So if we post this video, if you see me go into my nose a lot, I did develop a cocaine habit at the end of the pandemic. I'm just wiping my nose because I hate this time of year.
Or maybe just to make it like interesting, you had one of those like Total Recall trackers where you have to like stick that thing way up your nose to get it out and then make Arnold noises as you pull it out.
I'll get your ass to Mars. Great movie.
It is. I haven't seen it in a while, but
I've never seen the Colin Farrell one, but
I didn't like it as much. That's just me though.
How could you like it more than the Arnold version?
I didn't like it as much. I'm just saying, it wasn't awful, but I didn't like it as much. It didn't like fire on all cylinders like the Arnold version.
The Arnold version's so quay. I love, what's his name? Quattro?
Yeah, it's Quattro. Yeah.
Or, it's not Quattro.
It's Quattro. Quattro.
And,
well, when the guy opened his jacket, it was just like his head was, I was like, whoa, that's weird.
That was a cool reveal though.
It was like, okay.
Get your ass to Mars. No one who rips this. See you at the party, Richter.
Consider this a divorce.
Yeah, I love that movie so much. But yeah, and we also love Black Caravan. We love Rich Woodall. We love Joseph Schmalky. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate them coming on. And we will talk to you guys next week. I don't know who we have on next week. I think we have Russell Nolte on next week. So that'll be cool. Yeah. And so, yeah, man. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for checking out the podcast. We've done really well recently with the numbers and stuff. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for downloading and sharing it on social media and all that stuff. We really appreciate it. We will talk to you guys next week. Kevin, do you have any parting words before we go?
No, I don't. Goodbye. Thanks for listening, guys. Keep listening. Keep downloading. And leave a rating and review. We like 5-star ratings.
5-star, baby.
Only 5 stars.
Yeah, we don't want none of that 4-star
shit. Yeah, we don't need a 3-star, like you guys are just kind of okay. Because yeah, we know
cause,
that.
Because if you're going to either 5-star or 1-star, get off the fucking fence.
Yeah, either hate us or love us. We're okay with either one.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.